Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio program. We are your hosts for the morning, the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group, and we have a very special and exciting guest with us this morning. We are live and ready to engage with everyone this morning on this fantastic show about Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich book on the chapter of the brain. We invite everyone to call in and let your friends and other listeners know that we are on the air and excited and ready to have this wonderful conversation this morning. The call-in number is 661-554-9219. Again, 661-554-9219. I am Danelle McNeil, and the other hosts that are on the line are...
We have Chad Jackson.
You have Vaughn Young.
And Rose Young.
Good morning. And we are the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group. We invite everyone to press 1 on your telephone keypad if you'd like to join our conversation live this morning. You can also join us in the chat room on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. And you can also like our page, International Mastermind Association, IMA Blog Talk Radio. So before we get started completely this morning, let's give our listeners an introduction on the International Mastermind Association, and then we will be introducing our guest this morning. So we'll be right back.
All right.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
We've returned. You are listening to the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group. So how was everyone's week?
Pretty good. My week, this is Chad, my week started off a little slow, but towards the end of the week it kind of picked up a lot. I do have some specific details, but I'll definitely save those for next week.
Okay. All right. Everyone else?
Ms. Rose?
Okay, you go ahead until she becomes available.
Well, my week was phenomenal. It, like Chad, it started slow, but it ended with a bang. So, and once again, I'm here on Saturday morning, so that's what's up.
All right. All right, awesome, awesome. Okay, super. Well, I'm excited. So we're going to get right into our introduction of our guest this morning.
Okay.
Eric Canned. Last name is pronounced Canned. So if anyone, if you see our Facebook page or our blog talk post and it's spelled K-A-N-D, it's pronounced Canned. Eric Canned is a hypnotist entertainer. He performs comedy stage hypnosis shows at corporate events, college campuses, and even high schools. Can you be influenced to do things against your will? Can you be hypnotized? Master hypnotist Eric Canned can answer these questions and more. He is a member of the National Speakers Association and the National Guild of Hypnotists. He has authored several audio programs designed to help you use hypnosis to lose weight, sleep better at night, and even boost your self-confidence. You can find out more about our guest and enjoy video clips of his performances at the website hypnosisevents.com. Again, the website is hypnosisevents.com, and we'll be giving you his contact information throughout the show. Eric, good morning. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here. I've got my Starbucks here, so I'm ready to roll.
Well, you are not the only one. I don't have my Starbucks, but I do have my black chai tea, and it is popping this morning. So we are ready. So please tell us, before we truly get into our conversation here and talking about hypnosis and the brain and the book Think and Grow Rich, which I know that you're familiar with, please tell us about yourself and how you got into hypnosis and its interest to you and all of that.
Well, I first was exposed to hypnosis probably around 8 years old. I was at a county fair in California, and they had a hypnotist performer on one of the free stages. And, of course, I saw this, the things that were happening in this show, people getting their hands locked around a piece of rope and pinned down to the floor and seemingly unable to get up, and just it just kind of blew my mind. And I just, you know, it just seemed like it couldn't be real. And, of course, I found books on hypnosis in the comics books I was reading, and remember ordering these things and reading them. And I still never understood it. I just couldn't really wrap my head around it and just see how this could even be real at all. And then as I got older, you know, I just kind of, it just sort of faded into the back of my head. I actually used to work full-time as a CPA, Certified Public Accountant. And one of these days it just kind of got in my head that I wanted to, as part of my own self-improvement, to find out about hypnosis again. So this is back in the days when people actually used phone books. So I opened one up, and I literally found a hypnosis school, believe it or not. People always ask me, what do you learn hypnosis? I found a school within 10 blocks of my house. I mean, I could have walked there. So basically I started taking these classes on clinical hypnosis, which is basically using hypnosis for therapeutic purposes. And at the same time, I was flying around going to seminars to learn the entertainment side of it. I mean, I really threw myself in with both feet learning all aspects of it. And it really was for my own kind of self-knowledge, self-improvement, why I was pursuing it. But as I was doing the clinical work, I found that I really enjoyed working with people, and I found it to be very effective and very rewarding work to use hypnosis to help people to achieve their goals and change their behaviors for the better. And I rented an office space from a chiropractor so I could start working with people on nights and on weekends. And after a while, it started to get more and more successful. And I told myself, okay, if I reach this level of clients in 1 week just doing part-time, I'm just going to turn in my 30-day notice and just go full-time with this. And that's what I did. I didn't take me long. It just seemed like the universe is all lining up and just throwing one opportunity after another and bringing the people in. And, you know, I was full-time with it. And I did that for a few years, and that was successful. And then I moved to Florida for no real good reason. I used to live in California, and I just wanted to move to another state just to see what it would be like, and because I could, so I did. And it wasn't necessarily no particular reason, but I moved to Florida. And when I made that change, when I made that shift, I was already doing some of the stage hypnosis shows, and I just started doing the shows full-time. Because I find when I'm doing the entertainment and the seminars and working with large groups of people, I'm really not home enough time to see people one-on-one and do a good job of that. So that's what's been my focus for about the past about 10 years. It's just the entertainment side and the presentations to large groups. So that's the backstory. Hopefully that was not too long-winded, I guess.
No. That was awesome. That was awesome. That's an awesome story.
No, not at all, of course. Now share with us, if you will, please, what happens in the brain during hypnosis?
Okay, well, let's talk about how the brain is usually, I guess, measured from a scientific standpoint, at least currently. Brain activity is measured in terms of brainwave classifications. And you might have heard this before. There's four basic brainwave classifications that are generally accepted or the general guidelines. The first is your beta brainwave state, and this is where we're at right now. Normal waking consciousness, wide awake and aware, conversational. And the next one, lower, meaning a slower rate of activity, is the alpha brainwave state. And that would be as if you're just sitting at home, relaxing, listening to music, meditating.
Hmm.
And then if we go one step lower, now we're at the theta brain wave state. This is the working trance state of hypnosis. It's a naturally occurring state of mind. You go through this phase when you fall asleep, and when you awaken, it's part of your natural sleep cycle to go in and out of hypnosis, I guess. And this is our working state of hypnosis where when we're working with therapy or working in shows and even where you're hoping to get yourself in some respects with your auto-suggestion. And finally, we've got our brainwave, last brainwave cycle, which is the delta brainwave state, which is deep sleep. So when your brain finally goes to deep sleep. So in other words, the hypnotic state is not the same thing as sleep. When you're going into that delta state, that's deep sleep. Your mind is off doing other things. So we can measure these different cycles. And when we're in hypnosis, you might have heard many people can experience auditory and visual hallucinations. For example, daydreaming is a trance state. So you could be sitting there if you're kind of sleep-deprived or hungover or whatever, you can very easily daydream that you're off somewhere else, you know, especially if you're maybe sitting in a boring classroom experience or something. So that is an example of a natural trance state that could just occur. We take it for granted.
Yes.
We are going in and out of these trance states all the time, and we just say, oh, it's just a daydream. No. That is deep-level hypnosis for you to experience that phenomenon. So people think it's so far out when you're working with somebody that you're going to go into hypnosis. No, you're going in and out of hypnosis. You're going in and out of these natural trance states all the time. So the only other thing that's kind of interesting from a scientific perspective that's maybe a little bit more recent is, okay, so we're experiencing in the trance states, we can experience, for example, auditory visual hallucinations. And for that reason, people might just conclude that hypnosis is just, hey, it's just highly focused imagination. That's all it is. Well, they have a way of measuring actual brain images, blood flow, electronic activity with, this is over my head, but it's called positron emission tomography, PET. So this is a way we can measure brain activity. So they conducted some experiments. And what they found is that when somebody has an auditory hallucination, for example, in the trance state, it's actually experienced from the same part of the brain as if it were something they were really hearing. So basically, a hallucination you experience in the hypnotic state, the brain considers it the same as if it were actually being received from an outside source.
Wow.
And if you were just to imagine hearing something, that would go to a completely different part of the brain. So now we're getting a little bit of, in a roundabout way, some scientific proof for one of the cardinal principles of hypnosis, and maybe one of the cardinal principles that is maybe not exactly stated, but it is one of the principles of Napoleon Hill's works, is that the subconscious mind does not make a distinction between what's real and what is imagined.
Can you say that again? Sure. That was going to be my next question. Can you repeat that, please?
Sure. So this is a biggie. You can go all over the place with this one and use it and run with it in your personal development. But it's a very important thing to know is that the subconscious mind does not distinguish between real and imagined. So let me clarify that because that sounds maybe a bit vague. So what does that mean? So let me give you some examples. If you are at a movie, and it's a cliffhanger, and it's exciting, and your palms are sweaty, that means you're very emotionally engaged in this movie. True?
Yeah.
But at a certain level, consciously, you realize you're just sitting in a theater. You're just watching some movie on a screen. Why are you so emotionally engaged? Because the subconscious mind is seeing what's on the screen, and it is giving you the appropriate emotional responses for what's going up on that screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not treating it differently because it's fake. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So let's take it to the next level. Let's say you get in a fight with your boss at work, and he said something to you or she said something to you. You are so mad. You go home, and you're by yourself. And then you think about what your boss said to you. What happens? You get angry, don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
You get angry. And your boss isn't in the room. There's nobody around there. You're just getting angry, just thinking about things now. Why? Because you imagine yourself in the situation. You're already emotionally linked up to be angry with that situation, and your subconscious mind immediately produces the appropriate response, just based on your thoughts and imagination. So you see, you're not making that distinction. Your boss doesn't have to be right there yelling in your face. All you have to do is think about it, and if you're linked up for that, boom, you get the response.
Sure.
So this is what happens is many people, we're kind of going through lives, and we're already linked up with a lot of patterns and responses that are automatic for us. And they are going to be automatic because the subconscious mind, you don't have to think about what's going to happen. It basically has all these responsibilities that are all on autopilot, and they're all going to happen. And so to use this to our advantage, what we have to do is consciously use and engage our imagination towards the things we want to achieve, because if we condition our mind with where we do want to go with our lives and what we do want to achieve, and we immerse our imagination in those things, the subconscious mind doesn't treat that as fake. The subconscious mind is going, oh, this is what you want? Let me work on this and find out how to make this a reality, because it is your faithful servant. It does follow direction. It will do what you want it to. However, most people don't give it any direction at all. They basically go through lives reacting to circumstances and you know, basically going through life just responding to things, thinking that they're in control, thinking that they're making decisions, but all they're doing is they're going through and reacting to things.
Mm.
One of the key points that Napoleon Hill makes, or what I think is very true in some respects, is that if you interviewed 100 people and asked them exactly what they want, 98% of them, 98 out of 100, won't be able to tell you what they want.
Or they'll tell you what they don't want.
Oh, yeah, that's even worse. So here's an example. Here's why that is a disaster, the don't want. Okay, so if I say to you, Don't think of a pink elephant right now. Boom! That's all you get. Guess what? The subconscious mind doesn't process negatives. So this cultural focus that we have of focusing on what we don't want, guess what you're doing? You're self-hypnotizing, you're self-suggesting yourself to focus and immerse your imagination in all the things you don't want. Your subconscious mind goes, yep, we've been doing that. Let me give you some more. Here it comes. And, you know, and it's so easy to see once you're aware of this. So, for example, I used to do quite a bit of work with weight loss clients. And a weight loss client might come in, ask them, okay, what is it that you want? What do you want to get out of this? What do you want to achieve? And they'll just be like, well, I want to be not fat. And guess, you know, what do they say? What's the self-suggestion? I'm fat. You know, it's like, what's the suggestion to yourself in the break room? I'm not going to eat that donut. I'm not going to eat that donut. I'm not going to eat. How you're doing. It's going, donut, donut, donut. You know, and eventually, yeah, I mean, it's all you're thinking about. So I'll tell you, you got to be clear. I mean, we all know the power of a definite goal, a definite purpose. So being not fat, that is so vague and it's phrased in the negative, it's worthless. A positive goal, for example, is, hey, I want to weigh 165 pounds, have a 32-inch waist. I'm going to have this achieved for myself by September 1st. Boom. Now we're super clear. We have to actually create a picture or something, some sort of reference in our mind to be able to even make a statement like that. And now we've got something we can continue to focus on, and that is going to lead our subconscious mind to do all the whatever work that needs to happen in the background for that to happen. If you continue to immerse your imagination on that specific of a goal, and you keep on going back to it, your subconscious mind will have no choice but to make the arrangements for that to happen.
Okay, let's take a very quick commercial break, and we'll come right back. We are talking with Eric Cand, Master Hypnotist. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we have returned. Okay, so before we get started in our conversation again, I have a couple of brain facts that I'd like to share. One, the first one is regarding ambidexterity. I just for the first time, as a matter of fact, as of maybe a couple of weeks ago, met someone who is ambidextrous, by the way. I thought that was so cool to see. Those who are left-handed or ambidextrous have, which means you can write equally with your left and right hand, have a corpus callosum, the part of the brain that bridges the two halves, that is about 11% larger than those who are right-handed. And then the second brain fact is about Albert Einstein. Einstein's brain was similar in size to other humans, except in the region that is responsible for math and spatial perception. In that region, his brain was 35% wider than average. I thought those were interesting. Okay. So welcome back to the show, or welcome forward to the show. You are listening to the International Mastermind Association, the official organization of masterminders worldwide. We are the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group. I am Danelle McNeil, and with me today on the line are the other members. That was Rose and Chad at the same time, by the way.
And this is Vaughn by himself.
And there is Vaughn all by himself.
All by himself.
And if you know us you would know the significance of Vaughn being all by himself.
All the time. Hey, listen, I got to say something.
Okay, and with us today, all right, and before Vaughn says something, with us today also is our very special, very interesting and engaging guest, Eric Hand. Okay, go ahead, Vaughn.
It doesn't serve a purpose now. I was going to say that we need to rename this segment the Eric Hand Show, because he is on fire. I can't even ask the question because he's answering them as I'm like, is he a brain? Does he read the brain?
Right. I know.
I'm doing a preemptive strike on all of their questions.
I know. I'm with that. This is the Eric Hand Show. Okay, so you all go ahead with your questions before I jump in with more of mine, because I do want to also get into auto-suggestion and how the brain works, which you've already touched on, Eric, but I won't do that sneak slide in that I was about to do. So go on ahead, Vaughn, Rose, and say.
Well, my question is, open up. Oh, okay, my question is, can you actually hypnotize or get your mind to do things that you wouldn't normally do? As far as, you know, one situation with me, at one point in my life, I got to the point where I needed a job really bad, and I didn't want to do, I didn't want to be a salesman, and. Mm-hmm. As a part of doing that, you know, because I needed a job, I had to go ahead and take that job. I took the job, and I didn't know anything about that. My whole life I was told that I was shy. I felt that I was a shy person, that, you know, you don't speak much, you don't say a lot. So you normally wouldn't do a job like a salesman job, because a salesman job, you have to be out there. You have to talk to people and be engaging and all of those things. So through this hard time, you know, I kind of, you know, tried it out and actually ended up being, you know, pretty good at it. And I had to tell myself that it's already things in my life that I do that are along those lines. Like when I'm talking with my friends, I have no problem engaging myself with them, talking to them, you know, having a good time, trying to convince them on certain issues and things like that. So why can't I do that to a complete stranger? And over that time, I realized that, oh, I not only had these skills already, but I was actually good at doing these things, and I was already capable of it. But I was trying to find out, is that overcoming that block, that mental block right there, is that a part of you, I guess, hypnotizing yourself or getting yourself to transform your mind?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So you're taking a new position, and you had a lot of programming from when you were young. Basically, that was giving you a lot of internal resistance, because you have been led to believe as a child that you weren't good at this particular thing, or you're shy, you're introverted. And these, of course, you know, are not truths, but they're true for you as long as they're part of your belief system. Mm-hmm. And we all have beliefs, we all have emotional issues and or baggage or whatever you want to call it. And the original seeds for almost all of these things, the original seeds are almost always planted at a very young age. So probably sooner or later somebody might ask about regression therapy. There's two types of regression therapy. One is past life regression, which we probably have no business even talking about in this particular segment. But the other one is regular regression therapy, which is if we trace an emotional issue all the way back to where it originally came about, it's almost always at a very young age, before the even age of, usually it's before the age of 7. And why is that? Why do we get these imprints from such a young age? Well, in many respects, we can define hypnosis as being the absence of a critical factor. So what do I mean by that? We've got a conscious mind and we have a subconscious mind. As we go through lives as an adult, anything we hear, anything we're exposed to is immediately filtered through all of our past experiences, and we usually immediately have some kind of an opinion on it. So if you have a Democrat, you've got a Republican, they're going to have two totally different reactions maybe to the same exact piece of information based on their belief system. So it's not truth, just what they believe. So But as a child, so we have a critical factor. Everything we're exposed to is being critically analyzed instantly and automatically and then filtered appropriately. Children have no critical factor, meaning a child under the age of 7 is always in a state of deep hypnosis. They're in what's called the super learning mode, because your subconscious mind is the source of all permanent memory. A child comes into the world with a clean slate. They are prepared and equipped to massively absorb any amount of information. They can learn 3 languages at a time. They're filling that brain up. There is no sensor. There is no critical factor to analyze these things. It goes right in there, and it immediately is a truth. So how easy it is to tell your young child that there's a big fat man that is going to come down the chimney delivering toys, right? Do they argue with you? That's not possible. They are so excited. And how long does it take for them to finally, you know, imagine, you could probably, you know, I can still remember the day when it occurred to me that perhaps Santa Claus might not be true. You know, I mean, this is like emotional stuff, you know. I mean, I'm having to let it go of a belief that was in there and rock solid, and now I'm finding out it was like a betrayal of some sort, you know what I mean? So it's not easy to get rid of these beliefs. Once they're there in place, well, trust me, they are there for the long haul. So remember we were talking about that example of being angry with somebody? I can't tell you how many times I've seen 2 angry family members that haven't talked to each other for 10 years or more because of some stupid incident that they don't even remember exactly what happened, but they're not going to be the one to forgive the other person because I'm right, they're wrong. You know, your ego would much rather be right than to be happy. So that sets us all back in a big way. But yeah, it's like, we've had people running governments that will allow millions of people to die before they will admit they were wrong about something.
Oh,
you know, that's the power of the ego. It's not there to make you happy. It's more interested in being right. So that's sort of a famous thing. I can't remember who said it. Would you rather be right or would you rather be happy or would you rather be in love? You know, so kids are always, they're absorbing information. They don't really have this critical factor. So in many ways, a kid is in a deep state of hypnosis, and they're just accepting suggestions and information coming from you. You're the authority figure as the parent. They're just accepting these things as fact because they don't really have anything to relate it to or analyze it against. But as an adult, you've got all these subconscious prints in there, and they're all rock solid, and that you're just reacting to things at this point. You're not you've got this critical factor, and things you don't really think about things, and you just respond to them based on all these past experiences. And if you have a belief system that says I'm no good at talking to people in this situation, that belief is going to influence your emotions in a very powerful way. It doesn't mean it can't be changed. But your subconscious mind, it is your faithful servant, but it is also very lazy. It's not going to just start making changes on the fly because that belief system's been in place for decades. And it's much easier just to let it slide because God knows you're probably going to change your mind about yourself or what you want to do next week. So the only way to impart your seriousness of your intentions on your subconscious mind is to be consistent about what you want and being very direct about what you want. We already talked about, you know, 98% of the people don't even really know what they want to get out of life, and they're not even clear. They don't really have any specific goals. So subconscious mind is lazy. It just keeps doing their same old thing. So the analogy I like to use here is that of a cruise ship. A cruise ship, one of these large cruise ships, has approximately about 1,200 to 1,500 crew, not even including the passengers. So many crew members, there's one captain on board. That captain, that one person, that would be your conscious mind. The 1,300 crew members additional, that's the subconscious mind. All the resources, all the labor, all the power, all the energy is all in the subconscious part of your mind. Your conscious mind has very little to do. It's got the power of just one person. So you can think about, for example, your short-term memory. If somebody gives you a phone number, you're trying to struggle to remember these seven digits. You're repeating it over and over and over. Why is it so difficult? Because that's your conscious mind. It's only got a very limited power to hold maybe up to seven digits. Your subconscious mind, that's your permanent memory. You can think back to a family picnic, and you might remember, oh, man, it was a sunny day, and we were eating fried chicken. We had all these great fruit salads and potato salad and all these things, and we were talking about this, and the family was there. You can remember this very vivid with pictures, images, and it's all there from a fleeting instant where you're not even attempting to make a memory. Because the subconscious mind, it holds millions of bits of information for any specific instance, and it does it with no effort whatsoever on your part. So where was I going with this? Oh, okay, about the how you're going to reprogram yourself. So your captain is the decision maker of the cruise ship. But most people, because they don't know what they want, they're not even utilizing their conscious mind to be the director of things. It's like he just sits there in a chair and never makes a decision. So if that crew is used to a particular type of itinerary, which they've been doing over and over and over again, unless the captain shows up with a new directive, the whole crew is just going to do the same old things they've been doing before, same old itinerary. It's up to you to engage your conscious imagination to be the captain and to command the troops, your subconscious mind, and tell it what you expect and where you're going to go. And right there is where most people are dead in the water. They don't even do that much. No clear goal, no expectations, no definiteness of purpose, nothing written down, no plans, or... It's like you said, they have this, they have some idea in their head of what they want is phrased in the negative, so it means it's just basically kind of circling back and pointing to what they already have.
Wow. I'd like to remind our listeners that you are listening to the Plans with Intention Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association. Our guest that you hear speaking is Master Hypnotist Eric Cand. Eric, please, I know that there are many people on the line or listening through their computers who are interested in more information. As a matter of fact, Vaughn and Rose and their organization, the Mother Perry Youth Empowerment Program, has an event coming up in March, and I'm sure that they'll want some information or to speak with you more. Can you please share your information with everyone on how they can get in contact with you?
The easiest way to get a hold of me, it's all in one place. The website is hypnosisevents.com. So hypnosisevents.com, and that's the way you can connect me by email, phone, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and future social media we haven't even invented yet. It's all going to be right there. And that's also, if you just want to... I've got a blog there, so I usually, though I do work as an entertainer, I'm always blogging about things that interest me, such as Think and Grow Rich principles, because by blogging I just find it helps to solidify concepts in my own mind so I can apply them to my own life, because, that's how I got into this in the whole first place. I used to have a terrible fear of public speaking, and I didn't mention that. That's what got me into self-improvement and to really re-explore hypnosis, I guess. And, that's the funny thing. Your biggest weakness can become your biggest strength if you apply the right energy and intention behind it. Go ahead.
We have a caller on the line, and then we'll get into some auto-suggestion information. Anne, you are live on the show.
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, Building Stronger and Better Lives. Good morning, Eric, and all of our listeners this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ann is the founder of the International Mastermind Association, by the way. Eric?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you. My question this morning, I'm really enjoying the show and really getting a lot of information regarding how to apply what we're learning as we read the book, Think and Grow Rich, as we mastermind. And my question for you is, what is your favorite book?
As far as self-improvement or business?
No, it doesn't matter. What is your favorite book? It could cross all genres. It doesn't matter. Excuse me?
In the same genre, and I tend to not read a lot of fiction. I'm always wanting to read something new about success or hypnosis or these kinds of things. But I think one of the best all around books I've read in the same genre as Think and Grow Rich, with a lot of the same principles, is Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And the reason I like that book is it seems like he's probably gone through and through his life work, probably read about all the hundreds of different books that are available, and he's kind of compiled them all in a very nice way with lots of interesting stories in one place. That if you were to have just one book that you could use for self-improvement and success, if it wasn't going to be Think and Grow Rich, you could probably use this book, Success Principles. I like that book a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we are going to take one more commercial break. We have 18 minutes left on the show. If you'd like to speak with Eric, or if you'd like to pose a question or anything like that about hypnosis, masterminding, goal setting, auto suggestion, the brain, you want to go on ahead and raise your hand by pressing 1 on your telephone keypad, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we have returned. We are the Planned with Intention Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association. We are here with Eric Cand, Master Hypnotist. You can reach Eric and get more information about hypnosis and what he does as a Master Hypnotist at hypnosisevents.com. That's spelled H-Y-P as in Peter, N-O-S-I-S, events. EVENTS.com, hypnosisevents.com. Okay, so great minds think for themselves, and they also sort of kind of think alike. Anne asked one of my many questions, and I'm going to move forward with my questions. Okay. How is autosuggestion a form of hypnosis, and does it really work? Yes, I had to ask that question. Does it really work?
So, autosuggestion, which is one of the core concepts of Napoleon Hill's book,
yes,
is a way of conditioning or reprogramming your subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind is the part of your mind that's got all the resources to make things happen for you. If you are not conditioning your subconscious mind, you're probably either getting the same old thing, or worse, you're opening yourself up to negative or self-destructive programming you're receiving from outside sources, like TV. What are the things you do? Stop watching TV, and for God's sake, don't fall asleep watching TV. There's nothing important you need to know about. If it's important, you will find out, okay? Nothing's going to happen. If zombie apocalypse happens, trust me, you'll know without seeing it on TV. So, auto-suggestion is an effective way of doing self-hypnosis without a formal induction or listening to a hypnosis CD. Basically, there are many ways to achieve hypnosis. There are many varieties of accessing their natural trance states, but autosuggestion, as outlined by Napoleon Hill, is actually a very effective way to do this. It's very powerful, and I'm just kind of surprised he discovered or whatever was able to put all this information together as far back as he did. So to maybe what would be most useful is for us to just outline how he would use autosuggestion, or maybe how I would basically, how I take it and how I would employ this in my daily life. So number one, basically, you've got a written statement of definite purpose or written goals that are very specific, phrased in the positive, that are measurable. And the first step that he indicates is that you're going to read them aloud. You're going to read them aloud because there's something about using your own voice, hearing your own voice, that's hypnotic in itself. And by repetition, by reading it aloud, I mean, your goal should be so specific, so definite, that you should have them memorized before long so that you can just not have that piece of paper. You should be able to get to the point where you can close your eye and read things aloud. And now, this is very important. When you read these things and when you're imagining these things, you get emotional about it. Emotion is one of the core concepts, and this is why people who use affirmations almost always fail. They say, "Oh, I used to use affirmations, and I'm still a loser," you know, because, you know, they're just saying things, right? They're not engaging themselves. You have to get emotionally behind it, and so how do you do that? Well, use your body language. You're not slumped over in a chair reading your goals. You know, you can get up in the room and dance around and jump around, and I call it going on a rampage. Okay, so, and we'll get to that in a second. But the next thing about it is be very visual and very sensory in your experience. So if you are imagining your goals as if they were already true, you engage all your senses in your imagination, which means you see the exact amount of money you hope to acquire. You envision yourself performing the services that you're going to render to the world in reciprocation for you receiving this money. You hear in your mind the compliments that your friends are giving you because you've lost all of the weight, and so forth. You smell the new office, the new corner office with the window, and you smell the leather on the chairs. So you engage all of your senses because your subconscious mind loves that. It does not think in terms of words. It loves pictures, smells, and all these exciting things because your subconscious mind is in charge of this. Your subconscious mind is in charge of the emotions. So you engage yourself with the language of your subconscious mind. You're choosing to do that as the captain, using your conscious mind. You're choosing and intending to do that, and then you do so and you deliver the directions in the language of the person you're trying to reach, which is your subconscious mind. And the final aspect of this is you keep on repeating. You keep on going back to the same exact definite goal over and over and over until, and this is where the programming becomes it's a little crazy, but, I mean, you get to the point where you are so engaged with this idea that you know it's going to come true. You know it. It's almost that, and now it's just a time lag. You already know it in your mind. It's happening. Now, you see this when you are, for simple goals, for example, if you're talking to a person and they're going to school, they'll say things like, I'm getting my master's degree. Now, do you see how they use the words? It's already their master's degree. They're just going, they just have to keep showing up, and it's theirs, right?
Okay.
You don't hear them say, yeah, I'm going to try to get my master's degree, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
Good luck with that, you know. So in their mind, if it's a sure thing in their mind, you can hear it. You can already hear it. The words automatically are subconsciously delivering their expectations. So what you have to do is you keep on keeping on. You keep on directing your subconscious. This is it. This is exactly what I want. No, I'm not. It's not different today. This is it again, and I expect you to deliver. And then your subconscious mind, your faithful servant, goes, okay. And it starts to look for all the things, and that's when it just seems like the universe metaphysically seems to open up. and starting to deliver the right people into your life, the right circumstances. You start meeting the right people. You start seeing what, you know, because once it gets an idea, it's all over it. So the common example, of course, if you've decided, for example, to buy a certain type of car, like a Jeep, and you've never really noticed them before, as soon as you make that decision of definite that you're going to buy a Jeep, you start noticing them everywhere on the road. Because everybody's got a Jeep. Because once you've made a definite decision, your subconscious mind is right behind you. But like we said, most people, they're already dead in the water because they don't have any definite decisions to work on, so subconscious mind just goes on the old thing.